Ah, 3 minutes after 12, and everyone can breathe again. Do you know, I don't even need to mention that Mystery Hour is on the way before people start ringing in, which is obviously slightly irritating for those who are new to the party, so rest assured, we will rattle through. Guys, actually, though, there's three phone lines for you already, if you're quick. 0345 6060973. You know how it works. The mysteries, whether serious, scientific, or downright silly, that are bubbling away in the back of your brain can today, before 1 o'clock, be solved by the massed ranks of my genius listenership. And the way it works is this: you ring in with a question, who, why, what, where, when, whence, whither, wherefore, whatever it may be. Invitation is then for someone else to ring in and answer it. Anything goes. We're very short on rules, very short on regulations, and very short on requirements. But the one thing you do need to know is, of course, the number. 4 minutes after 12 is the time. 0345 6060973 is the number you need. What is the question to which you would most like today to discover an answer? I think that's it. You're not allowed to look stuff up. You're not allowed to use Google or an encyclopedia or anything like that. Or you're not allowed to in any way consult research resources. You have to obviously confine yourself to knowledge that you had before the program started. That's part of the reason behind the inception of the idea. And we try and avoid repetition, but given that I only had a... We'll do our level best to avoid repetition, all right? Ray Liotta's, if you provide an answer... Oh, just wait and see, all right? Trust me on this one. Roland's in Detroit. Roland, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, mate.
So it probably goes back to your childhood. Maybe you've heard this. People used to say the word rabbit on the first day of the month.
My girls do this. White rabbits, isn't it? White rabbits.
No, you. Not that I don't know about the colour of the rabbit, but
I think you've kind of got the late 20th century edited version of it. It was white rabbits originally.
Well, I thought that, and because I've not heard this for years and years and years. My mum used to say it.
Years and years and years. I knows you. How's your back? Sorry, carry on.
And then I'm down with my present girlfriend and...
Don't call her that.
Only girlfriend.
Don't call... flipping heck, Roland. You sound like Boris Johnson's current partner. It's not your present girlfriend. She's your one and only.
I know. As soon as I said that, I regretted it coming out of my mouth. Yeah. She's lying right next
to me. It's all right. It's all right. You're not on national radio, international radio or anything.
I know.
It's just as well. Carry on.
My mum used to say it a long time ago. And then she said it the first day of the month, this month.
Oh. Well, I have a go at answering it? I don't know.
For years, I've never heard that, you know? And so why do people say rabbit at the beginning of the month with an R in it?
Because, is it just with an R in it? Oh, they've all got an R
in it.
That's what I was told. Very good. He's good. No, apart from May, June, July. No, look, the way it works in our house, and I don't, is your inamorata American?
Yes, officially.
Okay. So in our house... What if you say white rabbits, then you immunise yourself from pinch punch first day of the month.
Ooh.
So, you're walking along and suddenly it hits you. You've lost your keys. A few seconds of panic, but then you find them. In your coat, where you put them. Phew. Now that feels like winning. So roll with it and turn today into Wednesday with a scratch card. Make today a Wednesday with a scratch card from the National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
No, I don't think my mum was that violent.
No, but you've heard of pinch punch first day of the month.
I have, yeah.
So in order to avoid getting the pinch and the punch on the first day of the month, you say white rabbits, and then you say no returns or something. Right, I'll put it on the list. Why do we say white rabbits? At the beginning,
I made the list.
It's very hard not to make the list, Roland. I think you've got enough problems at home now after that ludicrous outburst regarding your present girlfriend. Without me adding to your burdens, first day of the month. Why do we say? I think it's. But I want a definitive answer. You know, this might be one for Wayne in Basildon, who inhaled Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase and Fable about 5 years ago in order to circumvent the Mystery Hour rules and requirements. Because you are allowed to have looked stuff up in the past. You're simply not allowed to look stuff up on the spot in response to a question that is asked on the radio. right, texts today we're having fun with. Simon, Keith. Serious or silly, this text? Do you think Simon is being in good faith? Because I have had this question so often. Could James please explain his regular references to the Rayleigh Otter? Rayleigh was home to the late lamented Maplin Electronics, but I have never heard about its relationship with otters. Do you get this? I get this a lot. People think Rayleigh Otter is a reference to a marine mammal, an amphibious mammal that lives in Rayleigh, a town in Essex. It's not. It's Rayleigh Otter, the guy out of Goodfellas and the voiceover on Field of Dreams. I think possibly the fact that I might play it out, actually, just so that people know what it is, because look, here it is, all right? This is it.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
Ray Liotta.
If you build it, they will come.
Ray Liotta. That's how I know. I've got to stop saying Ray Liotta. So everyone else thinks it's Ray Liotta, because you see it on the poster, and it's L-I-O-T-T-A, Ray Liotta. But there is Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta himself. If I say Ray Liotta, no one's going to think I'm talking about an amphibious mammal in Essex. So anyway, he is the man who does the voiceover on Field of Dreams, where he says, if you build it, they will come. And Kevin Costner builds a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield, and all these ghosts of brilliant baseball players from the past come and play a game of baseball, a ghostly game of baseball on his baseball field. And Ray Liotta is like the voice of an angel almost, isn't he? And or of the most famous dead baseball player, most clearly. And he does the voiceover. So when he came over about 146 years ago to be interviewed by my friend and colleague Steve Allen, who I finally saw the other day, honestly, I was like sunshine on a rainy day. And he's looking very well, you'll be pleased to hear. And Steve asked him, Steve said, would you mind recording this for my idiot colleague? And Ray Liotta recorded it. That's the real voice. And we reserve that award for people whose qualifications for answering the question that they answer are almost too good to be true. So if we asked a question about a toaster and you had invented the toaster and you happened to be listening and you rang in and answered it, you'd get a Ray Liotta. I'm glad we cleared that up. I think Simon's question was in good faith. And now you will hopefully, Simon, understand it has absolutely nothing to do with amphibious mammals in Essex. Richard is in Bath. Richard, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
Okay, well, I've been watching a few science documentaries over the past few weeks, and black holes keep coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wondered what's at the bottom of a black hole. Because a hole's a hole, isn't it?
So there has a hole isn't a hole.
Well, a black hole's a hole.
I don't know that a black hole is a hole.
What's the black hole of nothing?
Well, I think it doesn't necessarily have a bottom. I think that might be the point.
Well, that's my question.
I know.
Is there a bottom? And if there is, what's
No, you're only allowed one question.
Okay. What's at the bottom of a black hole?
What if
I'm hoping one of your professors might be able to answer.
What if there isn't a bottom? I've been reading about black holes as well. I've just forgotten it.
Because effectively it sucks everything in, doesn't it?
Yeah. So and where does it go?
It's sucking everything in. So it's that stuff in. So is the stuff still at the bottom?
Yeah.
Like really, really small.
No,
I don't know.
I like it. I normally do a little tribute to David Bowie at this point.
All right.
Are you familiar with the Hunky Dory album?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So I normally go holes, as in holes. But I'm not going to do that today because I like to keep people guessing, Richard.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you mind how you go. What's at the bottom of a black hole, and why do we say rabbits on the first day of the month? Tim's in Norwich. Tim, question or answer?
Hello, James. It's a question, please.
Carry on, Tim.
Okay, so I live quite near Norwich and frequently drive on the bypass that runs by Norwich Airport, which is usually pretty quiet. It's a regional airport.
I know it well. The park and rides up there as well.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. It's all gone a bit Alan Partridge, Tim. Let's wheel it back quickly.
Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Carry on.
Really good. Yeah, so anyway, as you drive sort of past it, you can see across the fields towards the runway and the terminal. But as a result of, like, the first lockdown, loads of European airlines have used the parameters to park, like, dozens of their jets on.
Yeah.
And as you drive past them, it got me thinking, how do you lock an airline jet? Is there, like, a set of keys for each of those just hanging up on a board in the airport somewhere? And if so, is it like a car where you then need that key to start and fire up the ignition? I just had visions of pilots walking across the fields and getting halfway across before patting their pockets and thinking, blast, I've left the flipping keys.
Or they've forgotten what plane they're supposed to be flying, so they just press the button and wait to see which one bleeps.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
yes, no, I think this is a brilliant question.
More complex than that, because but, otherwise, you know, when planes are going backwards and forwards and crews change hands, someone's surely not just handing over a set of keys, but they're also not going to be unlocked, are they?
Here you go, John Catch. And I tell you what, if they're feeling a little bit fruity in the 1970s, they all used to throw them in a bowl on a coffee table in the terminal and wait. No, let's leave that one.
What you're talking about, we still do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, carry on. When you say perimeters, are they not behind fences?
Oh, yeah, but they're quite close to the road.
Because I wouldn't be shocked, I don't know about you, I wouldn't be shocked if they're not locked.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they are pretty accessible. It's not a particularly high fence being Norwich Airport. It's not like, you know, huge security stuff going on there. You would be able to scale it if you decided to just get in there. But I suppose it leads to the second point that, you know, do you need a key to start an aeroplane? Could I just walk in there and press an ignition button and it would go if it's got fuel in it?
Let's be honest, Tim. Just between you and me, I'll just turn it off so that none of the listeners can hear the next bit of the programme. All right, can we put on green sleeves for everybody? Thank you, Keith. Are you planning on nicking a plane?
Now, that's an outrageous allegation, but if you're in, I'm sure we could come to some arrangement if you're looking for one.
That's where you're going to nick it for a joyride. I didn't realise you were going to try and flog it. Let's try and find out. Tim, can you lock a passenger jet? How can you literally lock it like a door? 0345 60 60 973. Because we've all seen that massive handle, haven't we? But I don't think I've ever noticed a little keyhole. We shall find out. I would better check with the Civil Aviation Authority. We don't want to be responsible for, a stampede of nefarious types upon the airfields of the UK. That's three questions by my reckoning. Rabbits on the first of the month. What's at the bottom of a black hole? Or what's in a black hole, even? And do they lock passenger jets? 0345 6060 973. More questions and possibly, although you never know.
We are on LBC with James O'Brien.
And it's 18 minutes after 12. The mysteries are mounting. The solutions are coming. Stuart's in Tottenham. Stuart, question or answer?
Question whilst I'm here, James. Sorry.
What do you mean whilst you're here? You didn't ring in by accident. It makes it sound like I've just bumped into you in the corridor. You've rung a national radio station during a feature dedicated to questions or answers.
OK, fair dues.
Carry on. Question or answer, Stuart? I'll have a cup of tea.
OK, one of our plumbing technicians will be with you soon. Me, in other words, with this new digital phone line from BT, they think they're calling the office. Very handy. Now, what seems to be the problem? You sound all right to me. Let's have a look at your pipes.
Get BT Halo for Business with a digital phone line. Make and take calls on your office number anywhere. It also comes with fibre with an always connected guarantee and unlimited mobile data. BT, beyond limits. T's and C's apply. 84% UK 4G coverage as of December 2019.
Oh, please. Can I give an answer as well as the question?
No, you can't, Stuart.
Okay. Well, basically, I put on the garden lights this morning because it was dark and I was going to work for the dogs to go out and do their business.
Can't wait for the autobiography, Stuart.
Wait, so she's come in and she's gone to me, why have you put the lights on?
Yeah.
So the dogs can see what they're doing out there.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
She's gone to me, dogs can see in the dark. I said, can they?
Oh, can dogs see in the dark then?
I don't know, it's a question, can they?
Exactly, that's why I stuck a then on the end rather than a question mark. Dogs in the dark then, because cats can.
Exactly.
She is your good lady, is she?
Yes, fine, it's cool.
No, I just meant you just said she's come in and I thought, who's come in?
Oh, sorry. No. That was this morning earlier on when I was in the kitchen putting on the garden light. Into the kitchen.
I know, but who came in?
Oh, the other half, yeah.
Yes, your better half came in. It's just other people listening might have been a bit confused about who came into your kitchen after the dog had gone out to do its business. So cats can dogs.
Yeah.
I like it.
And also, can I not ask you a question?
No. Have you listened to this programme before?
Yeah. But you've allowed people to do it before.
I have not.
You have?
I have not.
I swear blind you have.
I swear blinder I haven't.
Oh, I allow you, just this once.
Yeah, all right, I'll leave it on the board. Frankly, you should be grateful coming on my show, pretending that you've just stumbled into it by, all right, while I'm here, I'll ask you a question then. Like, what? I just don't know why I bother some weeks. I really don't. Can dogs see in the dark? 03456060973. Can you lock passenger jets? What's in a black hole? In space, not in your garden. And why do we say rabbits on the first of the month? Anne's in Bordeaux in France. Anne, question or answer?
I've got a question, James.
Carry on.
Right. Well, first of all, I'd like to get over the formalities. That is, one, I'm dead nervous. Two, massive fan.
You're in France.
I know.
Be nervous. No one's going to know it's you.
Yeah, I know. I'm incognito.
All right.
So, here's my question.
Yes.
I noticed the other day something that I've been absolutely blind to for the last, I don't know how many years, I'm not telling you my age.
Oh, dear.
And that is, why are there two different forms of the letter G when it's printed in lowercase?
Usually, the answer is to do with printing, actually.
Yeah, but why have we kept both, as it were? And why, you know, different from the other.
Goes all the way back to Greek. G, it's one of the letters that doesn't help. Gamma.
Are you trying to blind me with science?
It's not, I know. I mean, it's a lovely question. I'm just trying to work out. I mean, you could. I mean, there are different Fs as well, aren't there? Sort of.
Well, there are a very slight variation on the theme, but the G.
So what's the other one? You've got the sort of circle with the tail. What's the other one?
It's like a pair of glasses. You've seen vertically. You see, you haven't seen it either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh.
That's all right, don't worry.
Imagine I put my pair of glasses, not horizontally on my face,
I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I know what vertically means.
But if you see that there are two, there's one that's round, a smaller round, with a little, like...
Yeah, I know what that one is. I'm just can't... Oh, yes. It's like an eight.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say the one that's like a figure eight instead of wanging on about your glasses being upside down?
Well, they just look like a pair of glasses on the side.
Yeah, or there's the one that looks like an eight with a big fat bottom.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? There's one that's got a tail.
No, that's the one that's like the glasses, is the one that's like an eight. An eight is much more useful than saying vertical glasses. Listen, which one of us is the professional broadcaster, Anne?
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. Thank you very much. So why do we have two lowercase g's still in circulation?
Yeah, well, the subsidiary question is,
what?
How come we never noticed? Yes, I asked
for it. Well, I had noticed. You know, I think the company's... No, it's not. Or, no, anyway. Yeah, no, but that's the old one. That's the normal one. Come back. I think one of... They're actually both the same. But one has completed the bottom loop and one hasn't.
But one's got a little thing on the top, like a little...
Like a single antenna.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you're on. I'll do it on the board, okay?
Kind of
you. No, I know. 24 after 12 is the time. Not a great phone line. I worry sometimes if I'm struggling to hear stuff that other people might not be able to. So why are there two different lowercase G's, my G's? 0345 6060973. John's in Reading. Question or answer, John?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Okay, bit of a weird one, but here we go. Tried to buy some size 10 boots recently, and they are only sold in EU sizes of size 44. But the problem is that depending on the manufacturer, they vary in size. So they could be in a size 10, they could be a 44, a 45, or a 43. Why is that?
What?
Yeah, exactly. It's what I said.
I mean, you could buy a size 10 and some come up bigger and smaller. And some brands, like for example, because this is the important stuff why people tune in, I find I wear a smaller Adidas than I do a Nike.
No, it was just the case that basically I've always bought five size ten boots.
So, but what's the question?
But like, why is that? Why is it where they vary? Why do they vary?
But 10's always 44.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Really?
I thought that.
That's
fighting
talk.
Seriously.
That's fighting talk, that is, John.
That is. Look, you try and buy a Mindle
boots.
Come on, then. Mindle boots, they only do it in 45s. But they're
that's 10 and a half.
Size 10.
That's 10 and a half.
No, they're class of 10.
Yeah, because they don't do half sizes. So that's a big 10. I don't know what the question is.
The question is, why aren't they just transferred over, the size 10s?
Why doesn't 10 always equal 44? What are they doing with the 45?
Perfect.
It's a brim full of Asher.
That'll do me.
That was very niche. I was just waiting to see if we were going to be of a similar generation and fondness of the old dance music. John, well played, I think. No idea. Barry's in Saffron Walden. Barry, question or answer?
I've got an answer, actually, James.
All right, mate.
And sorry. It's, just
a cotton pick minute.
All right.
Did you even notice the energy levels that were unfolding on this radio programme before you came on air?
I did.
There was exuberance in this studio. Old John in Reading there was joining in on a surreal flight of fancy. Everyone was sort of buzzing and kicking and giggling. And then with the greatest of love and respect, Barry, you arrived like a wet weekend.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right. Carry
can't
on.
Can't help you on
that. Question or answer?
I've got an answer, actually. It's whether you can lock an aircraft.
Oh, good. That was my favourite question so far.
Well, and the answer is good news, actually.
Yeah?
You can't lock it.
Great. Right, hang on a minute. A special message for the Norwich Constabulary. Get yourselves over to the airport, sharpish, and look out for a funny-looking fella in a Renault 5 with wire cutters. All right, sorry, carry on, Barry.
Yeah, and if he wants to know how to crank it up, obviously it depends what it is, but if it was an Airbus, for example, it's got two large batteries on board because you need to have electrical power and some air capability.
Yeah.
As long as they're working and they're in the correct position, you could fire up the auxiliary power unit which sits in the tail, which is a small mini-engine. At that point, you've got good electrics and you've got air. You then need to put two more switches in the correct position and the engines will be up and running. And away he can go.
That is happy days. Qualifications?
I'm a retired British Airways pilot.
Ah, well, that puts me in a rather awkward position.
Oh, dear.
No, oh, dear me, Barry, not oh, dear you. Because the last thing we need is British Airways pilots who giggle like superannuated schoolboys and get caught up in atmospheres of euphoria and excitement. That way, madness and quite possibly tragedy lies. So I'd like to apologise for lampooning your serious demeanour and instead thank you for having precisely the levels of seriousness and gravitas that we should expect from our pilot brothers.
Well, thank you very much, James. I shall take that.
Round of applause for Barry, please. Oh, man, that was a lovely answer. So, literally, they're all wide open, just hopping. Did I ever tell you about this? I'm surprised I didn't get shot, to be honest with you. It's a good job I'm from my own background. So, I left my phone on a plane at Gatwick, and I realised before I'd got to even to the terminal, you know, I'm just on that weird, you know, all those escalators at Gatwick where you...
So, you're walking along and suddenly it hits you. You've lost your keys. A few seconds of panic, but then you find them. In your coat, where you put them. Phew. Now that feels like winning. So roll with it and turn today into Wednesday with a scratch card. Make today a Wednesday with a scratch card from the National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
It'll go up and down a mountain. And so I thought, well, I'll just go back and get it. So I went back and there's this lift. I just thought I'll get in this lift. And Mrs. O'Brien's got the kids and the suitcases, so she's not exerting her usual influence upon my more rash decisions in life. So I just get in this lift. It goes down. It comes out airside. I walk out onto the runway. There's a bloke there with the ping pong bats. And I say, I've just left my phone on that plane, mate. Do you mind if I... He said, well, you shouldn't really, but go on, be quick. So I run up the stairs onto the plane. And I go to where I'd been sitting, 3C, I think it was, if memory serves. And I'm going into the pocket, the back of the pocket. And it's not there. And you know that feeling when you've lost your phone. It's one of the worst feelings in the world because you've got your whole life on it. And I've got one of those sort of granddad wallets with all my cards in it as well. And the pilot comes out of the cockpit and I say, I'm terribly sorry. Do you know, has it been cleaned yet? Or I'm just trying to get my phone. He says, you shouldn't really be on this plane. You know, I said, I know, it's all right. The fella there just said... Yeah, we've just got in from Athens and the fellow there said I could come and get my thing. We haven't just got in from Athens. We've just got in from Copenhagen. So I'd been wondering... I just felt that was one of those moments where if the cards had fallen slightly differently, it could have ended quite horribly, i.e. in jail or possibly on the end of a taser. And then a lovely bloke, I think his name was John, he went back in and found my phone. This is why you tune in for these anecdotes, isn't it? Don't pretend it's not. Bill Overly 4 is the time. Ben's in Birmingham. Ben, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Ben.
Okay. Black holes, firstly, they're not holes, they're spheres.
Holes.
In space.
Holes.
And at the centre, there's a singularity of mass.
Ah.
So all the mass is crushed down to a single point.
Warhol.
And that's what causes the black hole.
So there's no... Singularity of mass, does that does that translate into layman's terms?
Basically, imagine you took all the weight of it and it was crushed down to just to one point that you could, like, infinitesimally small.
It's like concentration, then?
Yeah.
So, like, if it was Vimto, it would be like you got the cordial and then you distilled the cordial down even further. So you started off with 2 litres.
Yeah.
But it would still weigh the same as 2 litres.
Yeah.
It would just be smashed down, pushed down. Yeah, all right. I think I'm just going to check with my man on the Clapham Omnibus. Do you mind? I'm just bearing with for a moment, Ben. Keith, is this making sense to you? Yes, carry on, Ben.
So, like, if you took, like, the mass of the Earth, it'd be a black hole the size of a ping pong ball.
Wow.
But that's actually just the event horizon. The actual singularity is inside.
Got it.
Like, right at the centre.
So, can you get in it?
That's open to debate, because as you get closer to the event horizon, time slows down.
Yes. Well, every fool knows that.
You'd keep slowing down and down and down, so you'd be like, reach the edge and time would stop.
So the black hole is what is left behind when the big thing that was there before got I think the technical term is smushed down to a tiny little singular mass.
Basically, once they reach a certain density, it will just crush down.
So it's not actually a hole in the sense of it having one side and then another side. It's more a vortex.
Yeah.
In space and time. Or in space, anyway. And possibly in time, given what you just said about the event. Listen, mate, I'm so out of my depth. What are your qualifications?
I've got a degree in astrophysics.
It's not exactly rocket science.
I do love using that joke.
I was going to say, I can't believe you laughed at that, because everyone who's ever heard what your degree is in must have inflicted that dad joke on you, as my girls would call it. Thank you, mate. You've got a lovely laugh as well. I'm going to give you a Ray Liotta, all right?
Yeah.
I know there's lots of people in the world with degrees in astrophysics, but there's something about the combination of your laughter, your communication skills, your natural charm, and your ability to convey complicated theories in simple language has earned you the biggest prize I can give.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
If you ever watched the film Interstellar...
Yeah, God, you're so unimpressed by the Ray Liotta. It's just me that was excited about that. Go on, Interstellar. Go on, Ben.
If you ever watch Interstellar, the black hole in that... was Kip Thorne, who's a really great astrophysicist, helped develop the visuals for that, and it actually formed some theories of some papers on astrophysics.
Good grief. So that's probably the most authentic attempt.
You'll get to seeing one without being smushed.
I love it, yeah. Good. I told you that was a technical term. He's an astrophysicist. I'll give you a round of applause, Ben, although this probably won't touch the sides either. Oh, that was clever. Unintentionally. Thank you. And quite a few of you a little unimpressed by my use of Vimto in an attempt to understand astrophysics. Oh, dear. 12:38 is time. It's the time. Dr. Dog is here, thank goodness. Fieri is in Rome. I presume I know why you're here, but you're always welcome to have a crack at black holes and white rabbits, or indeed shoe sizes in continental Europe, Fieri. Question
I'm going to stick to the dogs this time. I'm going to answer the doggy question, if they can see in the dark.
Yes.
The answer is yes. They can, well, put it this way, they can see a lot better than we can. They estimate around about 6 times better than we can, and there's several reasons for that, because their eyes are built differently. So you've heard of cones and rods.
Yes.
You know, the cells that are responsible in the retina for color and for movement and for light.
Yes.
Well, dogs have more, I think it's rods, which concentrate light, basically, and...
I take your answer. You're already over the line. Just to be clear, then, when John's dog went out to do its business in the garden this morning, he didn't need to turn on the outside lights.
No, he didn't.
Right.
Unless, well, if you went out as well and then couldn't see where the dog did the business and inadvertently, yes. So maybe the light was more
than
for the dog.
That's chapter two of the story, Vieri. That's not chapter one. Was his good lady said to him, why have you put the lights on? And he said, so the dog can see where he's going. And she said, well, he doesn't need the lights. Cats can see in the dark, so can dogs. And he rang in to say, can dogs? Because cats can. And you're here to tell us that, yes, they can.
Well, his wife was absolutely
partner. I don't
know
if they're married yet. I don't want to cause any awkwardness.
And if you shine a light in a dog's eye, it will reflect.
Of course it will.
And ours will not.
Why is that?
Remember, we talked about this before.
Yeah, I do. Remind me why. Yeah. Why is that then?
Somebody asked pretty much the same question. Do dogs' eyes reflect light?
Don't say it like that. Well, you made the show sound repetitive and derivative, Vieri. I think we'd go around in circles all day. Oh, dear. And a round of applause for Dr. Dog.
Thank you.
How many is that now?
Oh, I don't know, a few. I was just thinking before when you're talking about Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Liotta.
Liotta. Liotta.
Yeah, Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
I've had two.
Two Ray Liottas.
Unbelievable. It was my
Well, you are one of the world's leading dog behaviorists, spreading his wisdom and genius across the whole of Europe. So it's not that surprising that you might have had a couple, but I don't know if you're ever going to get another one now that we've established your credentials.
Well, who knows?
Well, we've stopped being surprised by them, haven't we? But we remain impressed, Vieri. We remain impressed.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll speak next time. There's a dog
you
question.
Too.
Unless someone jumps in sooner, you're more than welcome to. But Dr. Dog's credentials, you can find them online. 12:41 is the time. Helen, I got a couple of phone lines free. Heavens above, that never happens. Let me tell you what the question's still in need of answers. Continental shoe sizes. All right, it gets better. Why don't continental shoe sizes match up completely and consistently with... I think that might be a touch of English exceptionalism, actually, as I repeat the question out loud. Why do we presume that continental shoe sizes all match up with each other? I bought some rather nifty sandals in Greece recently, but I'm not sure that the size that you get... Anyway, that's the question. Why is a size 10 not always a 44? Why does the lowercase letter G still come in two forms? We've done the jets, we've done the black holes. And why do we say rabbits at the beginning of the month? 03456060973. And we have a few spaces for more questions at the moment. Helen is in Haywards Heath. Helen, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
OK, why do men's bikes have that crossbar at the top and women's used have the step through?
Oh, I'm going to have to answer this question quite delicately.
What's that, sorry?
I'm going to answer this question quite delicately. Do you know why side saddle exists as a way of riding?
Well, it was because that's how women... It was polite for women to ride that way.
Why?
Because of their dresses in the old times, I think. I don't know.
Partly because of their dresses in the old times and partly because of the perceived inappropriateness of straddling the horse.
Right.
So,
and that's followed through with bikes?
Correct.
I mean, as a cyclist, I'm very pleased not to have a crossbar on my bike. It's a lot easier.
Yes, and it is easier for men as well, but I think that the structural integrity of a bike with a crossbar is greater than the structural integrity of a bike without one. So, and also, I mean, if it was going to be done for physical comfort alone, it would probably be men that didn't have the crossbar because...
Well, that's what I've always thought.
Yeah,
why
same here.
Why do they get the crossbar?
Well, thank you, because if I slip off the saddle and land on the crossbar, I'm going to do myself a lot more damage than you are, Helen. As it goes. But the answer is...
I thought it was some either sadist or masochistic invention.
It could be, yeah, so men like the crossbar because they went to that sort of school. No, it's so that you don't have to swing your leg up like Bonnie Langford in order to get on your bicycle. That's
right.
It. Same reason that women used to ride side saddle for reasons. Decorum was the word I was searching for and it arrived. Decorum, yes. And that kind of Victorian prurience and you know, baked-in sexism and all of that malarkey.
So it's literally, it does come from horses and side saddles and things?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it comes from horses and side saddles, but it comes from the same root of institutional sexism and women being expected to, you know their place and what have you and not behave in a way that... I mean, it's back to the days when if a man got aroused by a woman... It was always the woman's fault, you see. So it's that kind of mindset.
That's the ankle theory, isn't it?
Bingo, it's the ankle theory, yes, exactly.
So that's literally it. It just because the bicycle was invented at that time of thinking.
Yeah.
Ah.
You sound surprised.
Well, for once,
us
lot won.
You did come out, except for the structural integrity of the bicycle. So these days, with tempered steel and what have you, and carbon fibre, it probably doesn't matter. But I wonder whether back in the day you would have been more likely to break your bike.
So... You're walking along and suddenly it hits you. You've lost your keys. A few seconds of panic, but then you find them. In your coat, where you put them. Phew. Now that feels like winning. So roll with it and turn today into Wednesday with a scratch card. Make today a Wednesday with a scratch card from the National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Than a bloke. That's got a nice little alliterative twang to it, hasn't it? But I'm going to give myself a round of applause, Helen, with your permission.
No,
I've been wondering that since cycling a lot more through lockdown. And why do they have the crossbar?
Yeah, I know, so have I. Well, I haven't. I've been cycling a lot more during lockdown. But the crossbar question, unless there's a steward's inquiry, I'm going to take my round of applause and I'm going to wish you bon voyage, Helen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We were actually going to have a look at the road stuff today. I know we never talk about roads on this programme, but I am intrigued by all these plant pots that are popping up and how angry some people are getting about them. They're designed to make us use our cars less, and everyone who has had to use their car less is getting really angry about it. There's a circularity to that that I think we should visit at some point, possibly tomorrow, but clearly not today.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, 0345 6060973.
It's 12:49. That's almost it for this week. So do squeeze in if you can with your answers. 0345 6060973. Joe is in St Albans. Joe, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
Okay. I was curious and have been for some time, and my friends can't answer this.
Do you know what you've just done? You've really built up the tension there, Joe. I hope other callers are listening and paying attention to what you've just done, because now I can't wait to hear what your question is.
Yeah, it's really unusual, actually.
Yeah.
What's the relevance to the term blue when it's associated with movies, and also when people say turn the air blue, they're using bad language. But it's not used much nowadays. But even I have, like, friends that are photographers, and they say, do you know what? I haven't got a clue.
Yeah. You need to get better friends, because I know.
Do you? I don't know. I haven't Googled it, I have to say.
No, well, clearly. But would you Google? Because I tell you what you would need to Google to get the answer to your question.
I God knows what the site would come up.
Don't Google it ever, all right? But you could Google this. You could Google this. Ready?
Okay.
Blue pencil.
Blue, what was it?
Blue pencil.
Oh.
Any little acorns there sprouting into saplings in your?
Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, yeah.
Because I
can't believe that people don't even know nowadays.
Well, what do you mean you can't? You've moved quickly. You've just gone from not knowing to not being able to believe that other people don't know.
No, I didn't know.
It is the sensor. The sensor censorship would be done with a blue pencil. So blue becomes the phrase used to describe stuff that should be censored. So blue pencil.
Do you know what? Thank you. I'm going to save that now for when I can get back out with the girls.
Yeah.
Just a bottle of wine and come out with that little party trick. I've
got better party tricks. I'm not going to lie to you, Joe, but, you know, whatever floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat. Okay, that is it. I'm 99.9% sure that it's because the sensor used...
I have to be careful.
Yes.
You know, on a Thursday afternoon, how I'm going to come across. But no,
it's a brilliant question. So you would use it, you could even do it on film. You'd have the blue pencil on film, it would be on paper, it would always be the stuff that the sensor... When I was at boarding school... There were a couple of lads whose dads were in the oil industry, and they lived out in the Emirates or in Saudi. I forget precisely which one it was. And one of them used to tell a story. I've got no idea whether it was true or not, but they used to take videos off them if they found, they'd try and get them into the country, like not porn, but something like, in this case, I think it was Basic Instinct, the Sharon Stone film, which is obviously pretty blue in places. But my mate Dean told me, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but I've dined out on this story for about 35 years, so I hope it was, that by the time his VHS copy of Basic Instinct got confiscated at Jeddah Airport, and it went to the religious police, or the blue pencils, actually, to stay on theme. And when he got the video back, it was 8 minutes long. I've got no way of verifying that or checking it, but some things I don't think you should, because the stories are too delightful to spoil by introducing reality. Kind of like Brexit. Applause for me, please. Joe, take care. Ed's in Tooting. Ed, question or answer?
Afternoon, James. I've got a question for you.
Oh, yes.
So I was watching Killing Eve quite a while back, Jodie Comer, the actress, changes her accent quite a lot, and it got me thinking whether lip readers can see accents, if that makes any sense at all.
I love that question. I wish you'd got on earlier.
I was going to ring up during the first lockdown, but you had so many kids on, I didn't want to spoil
fair enough.
That vibe.
That was a lovely moment, wasn't it? It was very special.
Beautiful.
I'm trying to think whether we could work it out.
The reason it comes to me is because our mouth changes shape versus what accent she's...
Yeah, but I mean, up to a point it does. Presumably the basic points of pronunciation would stay. I'm just going to get Keith to watch my mouth while I do a selection of first-class RADA-style accents, Ed. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. They do that, don't they? They do that, don't they? They do that, don't they? Now, what do you think, Keith? Did it look the same? The microphone is in the way. Wait there, Ed. I'm just going to do it again. I'm just going to lower the microphone a bit. They do that, don't they? They do that, don't they? They do that, don't... I've just changed my tone again. Let me try again, all right? Right, Liverpudlian. They do that, don't they? Irish. They do that, don't they? And now Birmingham. They do that, don't they? What do you think, Keith? Do they look the same?
About the same.
You're not going to take that as an answer, are you, Ed?
Well, I'm afraid not.
No, I can't say that.
Do you think Sean Connery...
Sean Connery. Sean.
So I don't know.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
I'm not sure whether you have had to have had hearing
who?
To understand the accent first and then had lost
it. Well, let's not overcomplicate things. All we need is a lip reader, a really good quality lip reader, to tell us whether or not accents present insurmountable problems.
Perfect.
03456060973. Got 3.5 minutes left. L is in Newbury. L, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
I'm answering the question about G's.
Excellent.
So the loopy G is called a double story G.
Yes.
Which is also the same as the A that you get with the tail above the top. That's called a double story T.
Ah, yes.
And they come from a type style called Roman type.
Yes.
Which I think originated from actual Roman lettering, so they would have created the lowercase, and to make the lowercase g more obviously different to a lowercase c, they added the tail and the loop, which meant that it was the most common sort of European manuscript style.
Makes sense.
In the 15th century, which is when typography, printing press, all the rest of it.
William Caxton.
Yep. So it kind of in the more sort of some more serif styles, like you'd get newspapers most often, you get that G. But then in the sans-serif styles, the more simplistic styles, which are more like our handwriting now, you get the other G, which is called the single story.
Love it. That's brilliant. So, I mean, one is a hangover from a previous era, and one is the updated version. Effectively.
And now they're kind of more of a stylistic choice.
Yeah, I love it. In fact, some people get quite excited about fonts.
I do.
Yes, I had a feeling you might. What are your qualifications?
I'm a graphic designer.
Well, that'll be why.
Yep.
Round of applause for Elle. Great work. I love that. 12:57 is the time. David is in Nottingham. David, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
Basically, it's the lip-reading one. Saw a documentary about 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was World War II in colour.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a lady on there, and she was able to tell the accent of the guys from a Sandler's film.
Shut the front door.
Well, honestly, mate, it may have been Channel 4, it may have been BBC, I can't quite remember.
So she could still lip-read, clearly.
Yeah.
But she could also identify regional accents by the shape of the mouth.
I remember watching it like it was yesterday.
Qualifications, saw it on the telly.
Qualifications, perfect. Saw it on the telly.
Round of applause for David. Round of applause for David. Great work, mate. Of course, it makes sense, actually, because you stretch your mouth like that, don't you? Simon's in Milton Keynes. Simon, question or answer?
I've got an answer, James.
We've got a minute left, I think. Is that the lot, Keith? Have we done them all? Is this it? Pressure's on, Simon. This is for a clean sweep. Clean sweep, Simon, they'll call you from now on. Carry on.
Okay.
Let's go.
So it's about the footwear sizing question, or the size conversion question.
Yes.
And I think your comment about English exceptionalism was not entirely wrong, although probably sort of...
Part of the answer.
Head.
Yeah, go on.
So, there are different sizing systems in the EU or on the continent. The French sizing system is more common, which uses different increments when it jumps from one size to the other. So in the French sizing system, it's about 6 2/3 millimeters.
So there's no such thing as a continental sizing system?
No.
There's a variety of different ones, and we just presume that we do it one way and you lot all do it the other way because that's, that's how Brexit happened.
Nice turn you're taking there.
You know, I take it everywhere. That's it. I'm going to give you a round of applause because we're out of time. And I've got to do one more joke before we go. Round of applause for Simon. Thank you. Where's Sheila? Is she upstairs today? Okay. That Irish accent I did was deliberately bad as an homage stroke nod to this new film, Wild Mountain Time. All right. Very niche joke, that. I hope you got it. Here's Sheila.
I thought your Scouse accent was okay,
they
James.
They do that, don't they, don't.
They do that, don't they, though. But I have to say, over the years, male Scouse voices have got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It's all a bit like that. It's all a bit...